Rosh Hashanah, and we've been speaking the last couple of weeks about about the issue of a person who decides to blow shofar for some strange reason in a bar. And the Gemara went through the discussion, what if he starts to blow shofar in the bar, then he starts going out of the bar, and it's a very unclear case. Why are we talking about such strange cases? So the Rishonim, right, we're talking about a Shas Hashmad, we're talking about a time when there's terrible oppression, they're not supposed to be blowing shofar in the first place, and the only way they can do it is under these extreme dire circumstances. And then you have somebody, everybody crowds around the bar, everyone crowds around the pit, they start to blow the shofar, all of a sudden they hear the enemies coming, everyone starts to scatter, and that's where the Gemara got into all this discussion about what if you hear part of it inside the pit and part of it outside of the pit, what if you don't hear at all. So that's all a very important discussion. The reason why it's a very important discussion, even though this particular part of it is not so relevant to us, we don't live at a time, we're blessed not to live at a time where we have such problems, but it's relevant for the following reason. There is a very fundamental discussion in the Rishonim about what exactly the nature of the mitzvah tkiyas shofar is, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because a lot of it stems from how you understand our Gemara. So there's a major discussion in the Rishonim. Is the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar the mitzvah of tkiyah, to blow, or is the mitzvah lishmoa, is the mitzvah to hear the blowing of the shofar? So you'll say, what's the difference? There's a major difference. So let's begin like this. The Rambam writes in many, many, many places. The Rambam has, number one, in the very first halacha in Hilchas Shofar, the Rambam tells us, actually, if you back up, the Rambam, before he even begins the halachas of Shofar, he points out what the Prate HaMitzvahs are. Before every parak in the Rambam, before every set of halachas, the Rambam tells us, in this set of halachas, we're going to describe X, Y, and Z, the following halachas. So the Rambam there, before he even begins to speak about the details of the halacha, the Rambam writes in the beginning of Tkiyas Shofar that the mitzvah is l'shmoa kol ha-shofar be'echad b'tishrei, which seems to indicate that the Rambam's opinion is that the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah is to hear the blowing of the shofar. And the Rambam writes that very clearly in the very first halacha in Hilchas Shofar. The Rambam says, mitzvah saseh shel Torah, we have a biblical commandment, l'shmoa truas ha-shofar, to hear the blowing of the shofar b'Rosh Hashanah, shenemar yom trua yelachem. That's the way the Rambam assumes. The Rambam then reiterates that again in his Sefer HaMitzvos HaKatzer, where the Rambam writes in Mitzvos HaSeh Kuf Ayin, l'shmoa kol ha-shofar b'Rosh Hashanah. Our obligation is to hear the blowing of the shofar. And then the Rambam, obviously, finishes this thought off by saying that this is the reason why we make the bracha, l'shmoa kol shofar, because our mitzvah is to hear the blowing of the shofar. So listen the way the Rambam expands on his opinion in the Tshuva. The Rambam in the Tshuvas HaRambam, which many of us probably have never read, but the Tshuvas HaRambam sometimes expands upon what his feelings are in the Halacha Sefer itself. So here, the Rambam writes as follows. She'ela, he's posed with the following question. Ma ha-hevdil bein lishmoa kol shofar, ubein al tekiya shofar. Why would a person maybe make a bracha al tekiya shofar? And why do I say you should make the bracha lishmoa kol shofar? Is there any distinction? Is there a difference between both of those nuschos? So the Rambam writes as follows. Hatshuva, the answer is, ha-hevdel shebeinehem gadol mi'od. The Rambam writes in the Tshuva that the difference is going to be a very big one. Vizeh, and that goes as follows. Shehamitzvah ha-muchuyeves eina hatkiya, elo shmias hatkiya, says the Rambam. Our mitzvah that we are obligated to do on Rosh Hashanah is to listen to the shofar. V'hayotze mizeh, and says the Rambam, as an outcome of the fact that we assume that the mitzvah is to hear the blowing of the shofar, she'ilu ha'isa ha-mitzvah ha-muchuyeves hi'atkiya, if our obligation on Rosh Hashanah was that everybody had to blow, hayachayiv kol adam ve'adam min hascharim letkoa, every one of us would have had to go buy ourselves a shofar, blow the shofar for yourself in Rosh Hashanah. Kemo shechayiv kol adam ve'adam leishe besuka v'litel alulav, says the Rambam, the same way we have an obligation, l'kachtam lechem ha-yom ha-rishon, the dalad minim, and each person has to do it on their own. We don't say just the chazan can do it for all of us. So to over here, each person would have to go on Rosh Hashanah, blow their own shofar, and take care of the mitzvah on their own. Vashamea shalotaka, if you have somebody who only hears somebody else blowing for them, lo haya yotzi yidei chavasa, says the Rambam, you would not fulfill your obligation. Vahaya gamkena tokea shaloshama yotzi yidei chavasa. And let's say you have, says the Rambam, let's say you have some plugs in his ear, but he's the Baal Tokei, okay? He just doesn't want to hurt his ear, so he puts earplugs in, he doesn't hear what he's doing, and he goes ahead and blows shofar for everybody else. He, what would he say? He is Yotze or is not Yotze? He is. Why? Because the mitzvah is blow the shofar, just like the mitzvah is shake the lulav, just like the mitzvah is sit in the sukkah. So over here, mitzvah is blow the shofar, and therefore we don't care whether or not he would hear. That's what the Rambam writes. Ve'ein ha'davar kein, ela ha'mitzvah ha'yashmiya, says the Rambam, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nihyeh bedvaro. And therefore the Rambam argues that since the mitzvah is only lishmoa, since the mitzvah is only to hear the shofar, therefore he says that we make the bracha lishmoa kol shofar. This is not only the opinion of the Rambam, this is also the opinion of the Rush in Meseches Rosh Hashanah, and this is also the opinion of the Tur in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, Siman Tafkuf Pehe. Where do the Rishonim get this idea from? Where do they come off to say that the mitzvah should only be the hearing of the shofar? Wouldn't it make sense to say, Uskatam lachem ayom arishon, right, you have to, not by yom arishon, I'm making up a pasuk. If it says that you have to, what? Right, I'm mixing up. So, if we have a mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, I would have said that the mitzvah is to blow, just like the mitzvah is to shake the lulav. The mitzvah is not to smell the esrog, so why should the mitzvah be to hear the blowing of the shofar? So anyway, this is the Rambam's opinion, this is the opinion of the Rush. Where do they get it from? They get it from, number one, the Yerushalmi. The Rush quotes a Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi says that a person who has the opportunity to blow a shofar should make the bracha of lishma'a kol shofar. So the Rambam is just quoting the Yerushalmi. And from there he has an indication that the real mitzvah is to listen to the tkiyah shofar. But also, there's another Yerushalmi that talks in greater detail, not just the fact that we have an indication from the nusach ha-bracha that the Yerushalmi quotes, but we have an even further indication that the mitzvah is only to hear the blowing of the shofar. How do we know that? Because the Yerushalmi draws an interesting parallel. The Yerushalmi writes, we do find in halacha that a lulav ha-gazel, if a person goes ahead and steals a lulav from somebody else, or if you have a lulav of isuri hana. So you take, for example, you have a tree that is asur b'hana. You have a tree that people served avodah zara, or you have a lulav that you stole from somebody else. We know that the halacha is you cannot use those to perform your mitzvah on sukkahs. However, says the Yerushalmi, if you have a shofar ha-gazel, if you have a shofar that you stole from somebody else, for example, we come to shul and we realize that we forgot to bring a shofar, we run into the next door neighbor's house, don't ask permission, you go into his break front, you take out the shofar, you decide to blow your shofar in order to fulfill the obligation of blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, says the Yerushalmi, no problem at all. You didn't do the right thing, but you have fulfilled your obligation of shofar. So the Yerushalmi asks, why should there be a distinction between, on the one hand, if you steal a dalad minim and you use that for your mitzvah, you have not fulfilled your obligation, whereas if you steal a shofar and you use that for your mitzvah, you have fulfilled your obligation. Oh, so the Yerushalmi poses the question. So the Yerushalmi first wants to say, well, maybe there's a difference in the formulation of the pasuk by dalad minim and the way the pasuk formulates the obligation of tkiyah shofar. Okay, let's not get into that answer. But the second answer Yerushalmi gives is, Amar Ablezer, Taman, by lulav, it says that the mitzvah is begufo hu yotze. I have to go ahead and shake the lulav with my own two hands. However, bram hacha by shofar, bekolo hu yotze. I'm not yotze the mitzvah by blowing the shofar, I'm yotze the mitzvah by hearing the shofar. And therefore they say that even if I steal the shofar, since the shofar is not the object of the mitzvah, the object of the mitzvah is the hearing of the shofar, therefore we assume, says the Yerushalmi, that even if you stole the shofar, you would be able to fulfill your obligation. Again, not something you should do. Shouldn't go ahead and violate the aveira of stealing. But still, the Yerushalmi writes clearly that you see, since the nature of the mitzvah of shofar is to hear the shofar, therefore even if you stole it, you would be able to fulfill your obligation. So again, this is the opinion of the Rambam, the Rush, and the Tur, and this is where they get it from these passages in the Yerushalmi. Now the problem with all of this is that we have a Mishnah. We have a Mishnah that says later on in Rosh Hashanah, we'll get to it, hopefully. We have a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that tells us, Cheresh Shota V'Katan. If you have somebody who is not obligated in the mitzvah, and they go ahead and blow the shofar, and we are listening to that blowing of the shofar, we are not in fulfillment of our obligation. So if you tell me that the mitzvah is only to hear the blowing of the shofar, why should it be any worse if I hear it from somebody who is just as obligated as I am? Or if I hear it from a chesh, a shoter, or a katan. Either way, did I get the desired outcome? Yes. Did I hear the blowing of the shofar? Yes. So what do I care who blew it? What do I care who blew the shofar? Why do you need a bar chayuva? Why? Again, if I have a mitzvah to be mekadesh my wife and I send somebody else to do it, I need a bar chayuva to do it. Because the object of the mitzvah is to be mekadesh the woman. Over here, if the whole object of the mitzvah is just to hear, so as long as I hear, that's good enough. No? Oh, so the Gemara. So this is what the Achronim are bothered with. If the Rambam is correct that the whole mitzvah is only to hear the blowing of the shofar, how do you explain the Mishnah later on in Rosh Hashanah? So the Achronim explain as follows. No, although it's true that the mitzvah is only to hear the blowing of the shofar, you're only in fulfillment of your obligation if you hear a kol shofar shal mitzvah. You can't just hear any symphony orchestra playing a shofar. Let's say you have somebody who plays in a band, happens to be walking down the street one day, a non-Jew. That's the instrument that he plays. He plays the trumpet. So he's walking down the street on Rosh Hashanah. He happens to be practicing his instrument. They have a big concert tonight. And you happen to overhear him playing his shofar. That's not a kol shofar de mitzvah. That's a symphony music orchestra that's playing their music. That's not going to be considered a shmias kol ha-shofar de mitzvah. And therefore we assume when you have somebody who is an eino mechuyev v'davar blowing the shofar, when you have a chayre shota v'katan, go ahead and blow the shofar, that is not considered like a fulfillment of the mitzvah because that is not a shmias kol ha-shofar shal mitzvah. And therefore we assume that that's why the Mishnah says you would not be able to fulfill your obligation in such a way. Now, that sounds very nice, but there's still a major problem. Why? Because if really the mitzvah is only to hear the blowing of the shofar, we have a further issue. Take, for example, just as a test case that the Achronim give. The Mishnah says in Maseches Sukkah, we have a halacha that's paskin in Shulchan Aruch, clear, unequivocal, it's the clear halacha l'maisa. When you have a sukkah on sukkahs, what kind of sukkah is good enough to fulfill my obligation of sitting in sukkah? So the Gemara says, I don't need a sukkah that is a sukkah shal mitzvah. What? No, I don't need a sukkah that was made specifically for the mitzvah of sukkahs. As long as it's made kahalacha, that's good enough. So take, for example, the Gemara gives the case. What if I have a sukkahs ganvach or a sukkahs rakbash? That's an acronym for ganvach is goyim, nashim, behema, or kusim, which means you have women who like to have get-togethers out in the fields, but it's hot outside, so they don't like to sit under the sun, and it's in the desert, so there are no trees there. So they build a little hut for themselves to go and have all the Lashon Hara sessions, to go have all the schmoozing. That's where they all go during the week to have a get-together. Men also have special places for themselves, but the men are generally working. They talk Lashon Hara on the job. The women at the time of the Gemara who weren't working had a special place where they all got together. So the Gemara says, am I able to use a hut like that for the mitzvah of Sukkah? It was not made at all for the mitzvah of Sukkah. It was made to be the communal center where everyone gets together and has their lunch. But we made it in order to be letzel. We made it in order to save ourselves from the sun that's beating outside. Or take, for example, the Gemara says you have a lot of animal, a lot of cattle. You don't want them to die of dehydration or whatever it might be. And you don't have enough water to give them, so you're going to build a big hut. And that's going to be able to save them from the very extreme degrees of heat that are beating down from the sun. Is that able to be used for the mitzvah of Sukkah? Says the Gemara, yes. Why? Because nobody said that you have to have a sukkah that's made, l'shem mitzvah sukkah. So the Achronim ask, if you believe that the mitzvah is to hear the blowing of the shofar, just like the mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah, so why do you need this step before that to be by a bar chayuva? Why do you need that the blowing of the object of the shofar has to be done by someone who's obligated in the mitzvah? Why don't you say that should be parallel to a non-Jew who builds a hut in the middle of the desert because he doesn't want to get too hot because he's the shomer ha'ir, let's say. He's the one who watches the outpost by the fence of the city and he doesn't want to be too hot, so he builds himself a hut. Even though it was made by a non-Jew who's not obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah, I can use it for my mitzvah because my mitzvah is just to sit in the sukkah. The way I get there is by building myself a sukkah, but if somebody else already built it for me, even though he did not have intention for me to do the mitzvah, but he built it, that's good enough. So why shouldn't it be good enough by the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar as well? Even if you have somebody, a non-Jew, or a chevish, a shota, or a katan, who is not obligated in the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, why shouldn't that suffice to take care of my obligation of tkiyah shofar if you assume like the Rambam that the mitzvah is only to listen to the blowing of the shofar? Is that question clear? Oh, 1 second. We're gonna get there. No, that's incorrect. Let's say you have a sukkah that was not made l'shem tzil. The Gemara says, what if I have a sukkah? So it doesn't just say you move into a dir sarai. There are halachas of how a sukkah has to be made. And yet, even though there are halachas of how a sukkah has to be made, if it was made by a non-Jew, as long as it was made l'shem tzil, right, that's good enough? Okay. Over here as well. If my mitzvah is only...
if you could have whatever it is, an artificial way of blowing the shofar without actually putting it to your mouth, you wouldn't be yotze.
Why not? That's the question. You're assuming that you have to blow it. The question is why? If the whole mitzvah is the shmiah, our premise is, like the Rambam says, that the mitzvah is to hear the blowing of the shofar. If that's the premise, then what do I care how I hear it? Just like I don't care how the sukkah was built, I shouldn't care how I hear the shofar either. As long as I have the desired outcome by sitting in the sukkah, translate that to our case, that as long as I have the hearing of the shofar, it's good enough. Yeah.
Sukkah's lechatchila, or someone
can have it? Lechatchila, you're allowed to sit in that. Yeah. So that's the kasha. So listen to an absolutely brilliant suggestion of the Avnei Nezer, which he, in the end, confesses that it's probably incorrect, but it's an Avnei Nezer. You can't go wrong with an Avnei Nezer. Listen to the Avnei Nezer. Such a genius. So the Avnei Nezer writes as follows. V'nira, dihine b'sefer Torah. So listen, he brings a contrast from Sefer Torah. Nothing to do with our halacha at all, but he tries to extrapolate from the din by Sefer Torah to our halacha here. What does he say? By Sefer Torah, we have a mitzvah atakis v'lechem asashira azos. Each individual person has their own obligation to write a Sefer Torah. So he says, "Im nasna la'acher, if I write a Sefer Torah for myself, I commission a sofer to write it for me, and it belongs to me, but now I give it away to someone else, am I in fulfillment of my obligation or not?" No. No. It has to belong to me. You see, when somebody goes and gives a Sefer Torah to the shul, they don't give it to the shul, they lend it to the shul. It always belongs to them, just they lend it to the shul and they give the shul the right to use that Sefer Torah. So says the Rambam, says the Avnei Nezer, Inasna la'acher, if I write a Sefer Torah and then I give it to someone else, bitel mitzvasa, I'm avata my mitzvah, because the mitzvah is va'ata kisvu lachem, the Sefer Torah has to belong to me and I have to keep it in my possession. Once I give it away, that's it, I no longer have it. So therefore he says as follows, now I have to go ahead and write another one because it's not in my possession anymore. Harei to ha-mitzvah, the mitzvah is b'ma'asha sefer Torah shalom. The mitzvah is in the outcome. Does the sefer Torah belong to you or not? It's not good enough to write the sefer Torah. You need to write the sefer Torah and you need that it should belong to you. Once you relinquish your ownership, once you give it to someone else, you no longer fulfill your obligation. You have to go ahead and write another one. So far, so good? Okay. Now says the Avnei Nezer, va'afal pikein. And even though the nature of the mitzvah is that you have to own a Sefer Torah, says the Rambam teaches us based on the Gemara, im henichelo avosav Sefer Torah, eno makayim mitzvah. So why does that make sense? If the objective of the mitzvah is that I have to own my own Sefer Torah, so how come if I get a Sefer Torah, be Yerusha from my father, why have I not fulfilled my obligation? Why do I have to write it? If the mitzvah is the outcome, that it has to belong to me. Haraya, if I wrote one and I owned it and now I give it away to someone else, I am not in fulfillment of my obligation. So that's what he's getting at. So he writes, if my obligation is that it should belong to me, haraya, that if I write it and it belonged to me and I give it away, I have to go and write another one. So he says, why does that make sense? As long as it belongs to me, it's good enough. So how come if my father gives me a Sefer Torah, it's not good enough? So he says, Elamai, what you see is... because the pasuk says kisvu, you have to write. It means ena yotze ela bepal b'masa sheyia lo sefer Torah. Yes, the desired outcome is what we need, that you should own the sefer Torah. But there's an initial step that has to be met as well. Kisvu, that you have to be involved. You have to write it. You have to commission the writing. And therefore, he says over here as well, since the pasuk says tiku b'chodesh shofar, since it says you have to blow. Therefore, even though the tachlis, even though the outcome is the shmiya, even though what we want you to accomplish is the hearing, but there's an initial stage that's necessary as well. Just like when it says kisu, it means you have to do, so too when it says tiku, it means you have to do.
Now you get out of the question of one having to
blow. So then you'll say, Shamei Akona, that's what we'll get to in a minute.
Each individual has to blow.
What? So he starts getting stuck. So how are we going to do this? V'hainu sheyitzka k'dei sheyishma sheyitzka shluch. Aval amacher she'eno shlucho tokea k'dei sheyishma. What if somebody else, who I didn't appoint, let's say you have a chazan gets up in the shul, he says, I've been the Baal Tokea the last 25 years. Nobody in the shul wants him to be the Baal Tokea anymore. He's not good anymore. He gets up, grabs the shofar, he says, I'm going to be the one to do it. You can imagine such a scene. So I don't want him to be my shaliach. I don't think he's a good Baal Tokea. Am I yotze my mitzvah or not? Am I yotzei my mitzvah or not? No, because the only way that I can be yotzei through someone else is when I make him into my shaliach. So we assume generally when a Baal Tokeah gets up, he's the shliach of all of us. I think generally the Gabbai makes an announcement, everyone should have a mind to be yotzi with him, he's having a mind to be yotzi you. Why do we do that? Because, not just because mitzvah shlichus kavana, but also because we assume that there has to be some sort of shlichus that's involved here. So anyway, this is the brilliant suggestion of the Avnei Nezer, that just like over there it says kisvu, which means not only do you need the desired outcome that you should own the Sefer Torah, and if you give it away you're not in fulfillment, but you need the initial stage as well of you being involved in the writing. As we see, if your father leaves over by Yerusha, it's not good enough. So to over here, he says, it says tiku, which means even though there's a desired outcome of the shmiah, of hearing the shofar, that's not good enough. You need the first stage also of you being involved in the blowing of the shofar. Now the Avnei Nezer gets stuck, because he says, we know the pasuk says, ukshartem la'os al yadecha, which means you have to be the one. If you're going to tell me every time the Torah says tiku, kisvu, it means you, so then it means that ukshartem also means you have to tie your own tefillin. So what happens? The person is sick, wife is at home with him, women are not chayv in tefillin, so what are you going to tell me? If I don't have enough strength to go and wrap my own tefillin, my wife can't help me, or my aide, who's a non-Jew, is not able to help me get it on because it says ukshartem, you have to be the one involved, just like kisvu and just like tiku. So the Avnei Nezer says, well, now I'm a little stuck, because the Gemara says that there was a case where a woman did put on tefillin on her husband who wasn't able to do it on his own. Well, how do you explain it now? So again, the Avnei Nezer is a very brilliant chiddush. In the end, he backs off of it a little bit, because he says he gets stuck from tefillin, and he's not sure exactly what to do with some other cases, but the Avnei Nezer is an interesting idea regardless. So, bottom line, the Rambam is of the opinion, it's clear that the mitzvah is the shmiah. The mitzvah is to listen. How he's going to explain why a chayr shota v'katan can't be motzi achayrim is going to be a little bit sticky. It's going to be a little hard to explain. Especially as we mention, when you contrast that to sukkahs ganbach and sukkahs rakbash, when you have a sukkah that was not made l'shem sukkah, also you need to explain how that fits into the context of this mitzvah over here of tkiyah shofar, which also was not done l'shem mitzvah. Yeah.
Can one just have like a general rule that shofar blowing is just more important than sitting in a sukkah?
Could be.
You can't compare them?
It could be, but the question is why? So, you know, Rav Asher Weiss, I've mentioned in the past, I was once talking to him and I said, well, maybe you can say this. Again, it doesn't apply exactly to what you're saying, but I said, maybe you can answer like this. So he said, it's a chiluk she'ena mechalik. It's a distinction without a difference. Meaning, very often we want to say, well, maybe this is different than that. Well, you have to explain why it's different. So just to say that they're different, obviously they're different. Shofar is not going to be the same as sukkah. But that's what we're asking. Why are they different? So we have to go along the lines of what you're saying, but we have to explain, al pi halacha, why there should be a difference. Anyway,
yeah. It doesn't care what the type of sukkah as long as it has a sail. The Torah doesn't say tikkun, that's the novi, that's the hill.
Okay.
The Torah says yom tshuva yilacha.
Okay.
So maybe that means that you should just hear it. It doesn't say that you should blow it, it should be a day of tshuva.
Mm-hmm.
You should hear it.
Could be.
What turns the hut into a sukkah? You being there, and because you're a bar view.
Okay.
So maybe say the same thing by shofar. That
exactly. That's what I should have said. Me listening makes it into a blowing shofar, a shel mitzvah.
No, but it has to be.
That's exactly the kasha.
That
equation didn't match up. You said, what makes a sukkah into a sukkah shel mitzvah? You said, me being there, right?
Yeah.
If you parallel that to shofar, that's exactly the kasha. Me listening should make it into a shofar shel mitzvah. That's exactly the question.
Not really, because the bracha and the sukkah, even though we make it from the leisha, it's really a building, although further, right?
That's the question.
Right.
Okay. That's the question. So we're going
to
get there. So just hold on to that question. If we don't answer it, then mention it again in a few minutes. So, on the other side of the spectrum, we have, on the one hand, the Rambam says the mitzvah is the shmiah, to hear. The Rambam reiterates that point many times over. On the other side of the spectrum, we have the Rush quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that the mitzvah is to blow the shofar. And Rabbeinu Tam says, therefore we should make a bracha al tkiyah shofar. This is not only the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, it's the opinion of other Rishonim as well. And it also seems to be the way the Shiltos understands the halacha as well, that we have a mitzvah to blow the shofar. So the question is, if you have a mitzvah to blow the shofar, how can you say that somebody else can do it for me? How can somebody else do it for me? Don't we know that the only time shlichus works is, the way Rav Asher Weiss once told it to me is, the only time shlichus works, it's an interesting way of being magdir, of categorizing the halacha. But the only time he assumed that we say shlucha shalom nekemoso is when you have something with the mitzvah is betotza, where you just want a result. So for example, I want to be mekadesh a woman, so the result is I want to be married to her. So I can send a shaliach in my place to bring about that result. But let's say the mitzvah is a mitzvah shebegufo. For example, you have a mitzvah of blowing shofar, you have a mitzvah of putting on tefillin, you have a mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles. I can't send, Hanukkah candles might be different, but if you have any mitzvah like that, to hear the Megillah, can send somebody else to do it for me. What is the help that you put on tefillin? What is the help that you blew the shofar? What is the help that you shook the lulav? I didn't do it. So again, if the mitzvah is that every person has to blow, that's exactly what the Rambam was asking. How can Rabbeinu Tam say that? I have a mitzvah that I should blow and then I'm going to send somebody else to do it in my place? It's a mitzvah that I'm obligated to do. How does it help if somebody else does it for me? That should be the same like the mitzvah of shaking lulav, like the mitzvah of hearing the Megillah, where you cannot send somebody else in your stead, you actually have to do it on your own. So this is a major flaw, a major problem with the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. So there are those who want to suggest as follows. Now those who want to say, well, let's make up a pasuk. I made up a pasuk before. Let's make up a new drasha here. Why we have, by the mitzvah of sukkah, the pasuk says, Kala ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkos. And from there we learn, since it says, Kala ezrach, everybody could sit in a sukkah, the Gemara says, that means that Kol Yisrael ru'im l'sheves b'sukkah achas. Means, we don't require that each person has their own sukkah. From the fact that the pasuk says, Kal ha'ezrach, means we could all share one big sukkah. So, argument's sake, we have a sukkah the size of the whole block. It's able to fit the whole community. Everybody can perform the mitzvah. I don't have to have my own individual sukkah. Some achronim want to say, well, let's extend that also. Yom trua yia lachem. From the fact that it says lachem plural, it means, kulam yecholim latzis yidei chavasam ayidei tkiya achas. Just like when it says, Kala ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkah, means we could all fulfill our obligation with one sukkah altogether. So too, there are those achronim who want to extend this to say, Yom trua yia lachem means plural. You can have one person blowing shofar, and that will be a trua lachem for everybody. Now that's a pellet. You make up drushas all of a sudden. The Gemara has by sukkah, so we understand. The Gemara makes exeris hakasa. We have a drusha from a pasuk. All of a sudden you're going to extend that and make up a new drusha, which doesn't really fit. You're going to make up a new drusha to say that that's why we're able to blow shofar all together and have one person do it for all of us, even though by tefillin we can't do that? So this is a major problem of a chiddush. So other achronim suggest, like you said, that you have to say that there's some kind of connection here, that you say the shomea ka'ona, the same way a chazan can be motzi me in shmona esrei, same way a chazan can say the benching for me if I'm unable to say the words, so too you can have one person blowing the shofar on behalf of everybody else. But this is a very, very problematic Rabbeinu Tam. And you take, for example, Rabbeinu Tam says that you're yotzei the mitzvah by the blowing alone. The nature of the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar is to blow the shofar, not to listen to the blowing of the shofar. If that's correct, the Rush asks from our Gemara. Our Gemara gives a case, if you have somebody who's blowing into the pit, right? You have somebody blowing like this, and the Gemara says, for whatever reason, he himself is unable to hear the tkiyah. Right? So I blew into the pit, then I had to run away, the enemy was coming, I didn't get to hear the tkiyah on my own. So the Gemara says, Lo yatsa yedei chavasa. We learned that Gemara 2 weeks ago. I am not in fulfillment of my obligation of tkiyah shofar because I didn't hear it. How does Rabbeinu Tam explain our Gemara? I blew the shofar, I did what I was supposed to do. If the mitzvah is only to blow the shofar, I did it. Who cares that I had to run away before I was able to hear the sound? What does it make a difference? That's exactly the question that the Rambam asked in his tshuva. And that's what pressed the Rambam to say that my obligation is to hear. Because the Rambam says, let's say you have somebody who puts earplugs in his ears and he's not able to hear the shofar that he's blowing. Would he be in fulfillment of the mitzvah or not? The Rambam says, no. That's based on our Gemara. Well, if so, the Rambam is asking against Rabbeinu Tam. How does Rabbeinu Tam argue that the mitzvah is only to blow? Why should we assume that if somebody blows and they don't hear the blowing that they're doing, that they're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah? So this is a very, very problematic Rabbeinu Tam. And this is what leads a whole group of Achronim to say that really the mitzvah is both. Really the mitzvah is to hear the shofar and you need to have the connecting part of the blowing of the shofar as well. And they say that it's similar a little bit to other mitzvahs where you have many components to one kiyum mitzvah. For example, we have a mitzvah to shecht a karbon. So the mitzvah is to do all the dalet avodah, shechita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika. There are many different components that are the makeup of the mitzvah of shechting and offering a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't happen itself. It's something you have to do in cooperation with other parts of the process as well. So this is something that many Achronim are bothered with. On the one hand, you have some sugyas that indicate that the mitzvah is lishmoa. On the other hand, you have other sugyas that indicate that the mitzvah is to blow, and therefore they come to the conclusion that perhaps the mitzvah is a little bit of both. Perhaps you have to hear the shofar, and you also have to be involved in the blowing as well. I just want to pass out a little bit once we're on the topic. Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful idea that is not basically, it's not simply just the halacha itself, it's more a little bit in Yanei Hashkafa on this machlokas that we're discussing. And that's what we're going to read through, and then we'll and with that we'll close this evening. So we mentioned that there's a major discussion in the Rishonim as to what the nature of the mitzvah is. Is the nature of the mitzvah to blow the shofar, or is the nature of the mitzvah to hear the blowing of the shofar? Again, a machlokas hagedole harishonim, a machlokas between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. So this is a very beautiful piece that Rav Asher Weiss has, going a little bit under the surface of what might be highlighted in this machlokas. Says Rav Asher Weiss as follows: Yadua mashanechliku harishonim b'mitzvas haShofar. We just mentioned this whole discussion in the Rishonim, exactly what is the nature of the mitzvah blowing the shofar. Imahusa b'tkia o b'shmia. Is the nature of the mitzvah to blow, or is the nature of the mitzvah to hear? And again, we had indications in both directions. On the one hand, you have our Mishnah, our Gemara, that says, if a person blows into a pit, and you're the Baal Tokeya, but you happen not to hear what you're doing, the Gemara says you're not in fulfillment of your mitzvah, that would seem to indicate that the mitzvah is clearly the Shmiah. On the other hand, you have the sugya later on in Rosh Hashanah that says, Chayr is shot to the katan that blow the shofar. We cannot fulfill our obligation by hearing the shofar from them, which would seem to indicate that the mitzvah is the tkiah, the blowing itself. So you have to stand on your head to try to figure out how to be miyash of each sugya, but this is a very difficult machlokas to try to reconcile, because you have rayas in both directions. So skip down to the next paragraph. Vinira. On a deeper level, again, not simply on the halachic level, degam bepnimiyusa shal mitzvah zu yesh makom l'shnei yisodos elu. As we mentioned, there are achronim who say that the mitzvah really is both to blow the shofar and to hear the blowing of the shofar as well. So Rav Asher Weiss suggests that maybe on a deeper level, both of these opinions have a lot of significance as well. Dehinei b'Rosh Hashanah daf tazayin amru. The Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tiku lefanai b'shofar shal ayil, kedei she'ezker lachem akedas Yitzchak ben Avraham. I want you specifically on Rosh Hashanah to use a shofar shal ayil, in order that I, the Ribbono shel Olam, should be reminded of akedas Yitzchak ben Avraham, umala ani aleichem ki'ilu akadetem atzmechem lefanai. And when I hear that shofar, and I am now reminded of what happened so many years ago by the akedas Yitzchak, it will be as if you have offered yourselves as a karban on the Mizbeach. Uvi Rosh Hashanah, and on Rosh Hashanah, Dav Chavav, the Gemara offers yet another Remez Nosaf. Sham Amru, there the Gemara says, not that the blowing of the shofar is in order that you should remind the Ribbono Shel Olam Kedas Yitzchak, and it's as if you have offered yourself. No. Dibi Rosh Hashanah, Tokim Mishofar Kafuf, there the Gemara says that you have to use a shofar that is bent, Kama de kayif inish daita tvei mali, because as we mentioned a few weeks ago, the more that a person feels humbled, the more your tefillas will be answered. V'yaduim divrei haRambam v'hilchas tshuva. The Rambam writes in the third parak, halacha dalet in hilchas tshuva, v'zeh lashono. Af al pi shetkiyas shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeres hakasu. Even though the reason why we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is strictly because the Torah told us to do so, remez yeshbo, there still is a remez as well. Now this remez became so famous that we forgot already what the original reason why we blow the shofar. We blow the shofar because it says Yom Tshuva Yelachem, period. Gzeres HaKasev. God said that's what you should do. The Rambam made the remez famous. What's the remez? Uri Yishena Mishinaschem. Again, remind yourself that's not the original Pasuk Chumash. Uri Yishena Mishinaschem is the Rambam's remez as to why we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. V'nirdamim, and those who are sleeping, hakitzu mitardei maschem, you should wake up from your slumber. V'chipsu maaseichem, and you should look into, you should investigate all that you have done throughout the course of the year. V'chazru b'tshuva, and you should all try and be chazru b'tshuva. V'zichru bara'eichem, and try to remember who created you. Elu hashokachim es ha'emes b'havle hazman, says the Rambam, these are the people, all of us, who forget the truth because we're busy dealing with silliness. V'shogim, and we spend so much of our time with meaningless activities, asher lo yoel v'lo yatzu, which are not going to help us. and which will not contribute to our meaningful life. Habitu l'nafsha seichem, says the Rambam, look deeply inside of yourselves, v'hativu darkechem umalalechem, and try and perfect your ways, v'yazov kol echan mikem darko hara, says the Rambam, umachshavto asher lo tova. That is what the Rambam teaches us in Hilchos Tshuva, that the opportunity of listening to the shofar affords us the ability to think about what we have done and to shake us up a little bit. V'divrei haRambam tzrichim lahadhed ba'aznenu. These words of the Rambam are words that need to echo in our ears. B'shamenu as kol haShofar, when we hear the shofar, k'mamar chazal b'Rosh Hashanah, k'dekayif inish tfei mali. When a person is humbled, when a person is thinking about thoughts of tshuva, and how much they have wronged the Ribbono Shel Olam throughout the year, these words of the Rambam are supposed to make us a little bit feel feelings of humility, because we have not owned up to the responsibility that God has placed upon us of what we are supposed to be doing throughout the course of the year. So again, we have two conflicting Gemaras as to what the reason is why we blow the shofar. On the one hand, the shofar is supposed to be to remind God Himself of the act of Mesiras Nefesh of Avraham Avinu, and to remind Him it's as if we are offering ourselves. On the other hand, the Gemara says, the shofar is supposed to be a tool for humility. It's supposed to be a tool that should make us be in the right frame of mind. Suggests Rav Asher Weiss. In conjunction with these two reasons for blowing the shofar, perhaps this is the meaning why we find a mitzvah of blowing the shofar and a mitzvah of hearing the shofar. Tokim anu kedei sheyizkar lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu es HaKedes Yitzchak. There's a mitzvah to blow the shofar because we need to remind the Ribbono Shel Olam of Akedas Yitzchak. Avol tzrichim anu lahashmiya la'azneinu et tzkiyas haShofar. Don't forget, when you're doing the act of the mitzvah, how often do we go? We shake lulav. You look in the siddur, what does it say to do? Shake the front, shake to the back, turn around, behind you, did it, put it down, done. How many people think about what we're supposed to be thinking about when we shake the lulav? No one. Well, we can go through the act of blowing shofar and be the very same. What am I supposed to do? Look in the machzer. What does it say? Oh, tkiya shvaram trua, tkiya, good, got it. Blow it. Got the right seconds, the right minutes. Everything's fine. Move on. And why am I doing this? Because the Torah says, blow the shofar Rosh Hashanah to remind God of Akedas Yitzchak. That's not good enough. The tkiya alone, the act of the blowing, is not good enough. On Rosh Hashanah, the act alone is not going to suffice. We need also the act of Shmiah. We need to listen to that which we're performing as well. Tzrichim anu lahashmiya la'aznenu es tkiyas haShofar chedivei haRambam. Lo bichdi ikar haMitzvah hi b'shmiya. It is not a coincidence that the main crux of the mitzvah, the nature of this mitzvah, is to listen to the voice of the shofar. Dekodem, because before we remind God about the Akedas Yitzchak, and before we want Him to give us mercy, and before we want Him to bestow us with kindness because of the wonderful things that our ancestors have done, tzrichim anu lishmoas haShofar ulefashvesh b'maaseinu. We first need to do some serious introspection. V'rach achar zechirazu. Only after we remind ourselves and we hear the blowing of the shofar, then we can blow the shofar and remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the other part, which is, now that we've perfected ourselves, now that we have done the mitzvah of Shmiyas Ofer, now you should take that mitzvah and remind yourself of the Akedas Yitzchak as well. But you need both components to be going together. You cannot just simply do the act of the blowing alone. You need to always make sure that you have the listening of the shofar as well. Rav Asher Weiss, did I put it on here? The Shalah? The Shalah that he quotes here is a very powerful Shalah. The Shalah writes as follows, HaShalah Kadosh Kasav, Takanas Tekiya Shofar Apli Nigla. The Shalah writes, it's interesting that the Shalah assumes this is Nigla. You know, there's Teres HaNigla, Teres HaNister. What was Nigla to Shalah, I think, is Nister to most of us. But the Shalah here writes, Apli Teres HaNigla, what does it mean when we blow the shofar Tashrat? Tekiya Shvarim Trua Tekiya. Hu Remez Limei HaAdam. Again, this is the Nigla of the Shalah. What is the Remez? What is it supposed to remind us of? Ha'adam yotze la'avir ha'olam naki pashut v'chalak. We come out into the world, we're born as innocent, as simple, uncomplicated human beings. Kitkiya shehi kol yashar u'pashut. The same way we have a straightforward tkiya, no bumps, no cracks, nothing complicated about it, easy. That's the same way we were all created. Ha'adam elokim asas adam yashar. God created all of us in a way which is straightforward. We're uncomplicated beings. later on in the course of our lives, ha'am mechapes cheshbonos rabim va'az mis'ake mechote. We get involved in all kinds of activities, and we do all kinds of things that we shouldn't do, and all of a sudden we become crooked human beings. What happened? God looks at us and he says, what happened to my innocent little child? You hear people saying this all the time. They give birth to a child. When he's young, they say, oh, how cute, pinch his cheeks, isn't it? All of a sudden, the kid gets older, becomes a teenager. They start saying, what happened to my innocent kid? What happened? He was such a respectful, nice kid. All of a sudden, he turned into somebody else, a villain. How'd this happen? I was parenting him. How did it happen? God says the same thing. I'm parenting all my children. I created them, Yasher. All of a sudden, they became crooked. How'd that happen under my watch? V'zehu genuchei ganach, kederach hachola ha-mesiasa b'yisurav. That's what it means. Genuchei ganach means it's like a person who's crying. It's like a chole who twists and turns and you can't even get a comfortable place to be in the bed. That's the same thing with us. And that's why we have a shvarim true in the middle to remind ourselves that the beginning of life was a tkia. We were all straightforward. We were straight human beings created to do the right thing. All of a sudden life circumstances become difficult and everybody starts trying to navigate their way around and all of a sudden we become crooked human beings. That's why in the middle we have a shvarim, which is breaking. Then a trua, we get really broken. We become really crooked. And we have to start finagling around, how are we going to make more money? How am I going to afford the house? How am I going to take care of my family? Okay, I'll steal a little bit here, I'll do a little bit there, some shtick over there, try to bypass the law. Everyone comes up with things. Everyone comes up with different things. And then we turn into a trua, says the Shalah. And finally the Shalah writes, you look at the end of the paragraph, we have a tkiah. Why do we have a tkiah in the end? To remind ourselves, says the Shalah, that we have achar kol zeh shuv tokim kol chazak upashut kitino kayotze la'aver olam lilamedcha, to teach you ki ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu chafetz b'mos hameis. God doesn't want us to live life in the true estate. Ki im b'shuvah midaka v'chaya. God gives us the opportunity to do tshuva. He allows us to listen to the kol ha-shofar and he says, look at the cycle of life and look that your life can end up being a tkiah the same way you started. Yes, you made lots of mistakes. Sometimes the mistakes were a shvarim. Sometimes they turned into a tkiah perhaps. I'm sorry, into a trua. But look ultimately through the object of tshuva, look how you can really become into a tkiah once again. Look how you can make yourself into an Adam Yasher once again. And Rav Asher Weiss added on his own, V'ragil ani lehosif, da'acharei kol ha-shvarim v'ha-trua shetakanu. After all the sets of shvarim and trua that we do on Rosh Hashanah, tokim anu tkiah gedola. We don't just blow a tkiah like we started. We blow a tkiah gedola longer than the one that we started. Why? The rame is to teach us shebemakom shebalituva omdim ein tzadikim gemurim yicholam lamod. But to teach us that the object of tshuva is not just to make ourselves back to the place that we started. If we take the opportunity to do tshuva seriously, if we do it with sincerity, we can become even more meaningful human beings. We can become even more successful than we were when we started. We can become people that really grew throughout life and be something that God never expected us to become at all. Because when we have the opportunity to do tshuva, we are tzaddikim gemurim, we are bali tshuva, who are even greater than somebody who was created as a tzaddik. And that is something that the opportunity for Chodesh Elul really avails us to do and to think about seriously. So I'm here to